everybody. Welcome to another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. Of course, I am T, and we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new review. Remember, new episodes always go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. But as I release various reviews throughout the week, the best way to stay up to date with whenever I'm dropping something new is to get subscribed to my Linktree, which you can access by going to linktr.ee/tscarymovie. If you get subscribed to my Linktree, that'll keep you in the loop there for access to my YouTube page for the video versions of the show, to your favorite podcasting platforms for the audio-only versions of the show, to my Letterboxd page for written reviews and my rankings of movies throughout the year, and to my TikTok page where I put up my short horror videos, which I always tend to do after I go and see something new. So hit that subscribe button so you can stay up to date with all the new horror content I have coming out for all of you. So what are we talking about in tonight's show? Tonight, I'm going to be jumping into the movie Late Night with the Devil. This film is about a late night talk show host who decides to invite on a parapsychologist with a new patient who claims to be possessed by the devil or maybe one of his minions. And it's up to Jack Delroy, late night talk show host, to find out, is this real or not? Got a chance to check this out in theaters here just the other day. And so that's exactly what we're going to be jumping into for you tonight. But let's not waste any time. Let's get right into Late Night with the Devil. Now, this movie already had me, had my interest like locked in on it, because as I've mentioned a lot in the last few months, I got a chance to go and see the film Ghostwatch for the first time this past September. I say go and see it, but I rented it and then I had to pick up the Blu-ray because of how fantastic it was. Now, if you haven't seen Ghostwatch before, that movie is another telling of the Enfield poltergeist, which was famously shown in the movie The Conjuring 2. The Warrens go investigate this family to where a young girl claims to have been possessed by something and all these crazy things are happening in her home. Now, The Conjuring 2 is a fantastic movie, but I was not prepared for what Ghostwatch did, because the gimmick of Ghostwatch was it was technically found footage. This movie was produced back in the early 90s. It took real reporters, real newscasters off the BBC and told the same story of the Enfield poltergeist in real time as they investigated this young girl who claimed that there was something otherworldly inside of her home. And Late Night with the Devil kind of replicates that same kind of energy. Now, Jack Delroy, played by David Damascene, is a late night talk show host who has been competing with people like Johnny Carson for years. And after the untimely death of his wife, he's looking for ways to keep the show on the air and not obviously go out of business, because it's not only Jack who's at danger here, but his entire cast and crew who are all going to be out of jobs if the show doesn't stay on. So Jack is seeking a way anyway. He's grasping at straws at this point for something to hold the ratings, to hold the interest of people watching his show and send them all back into the big time. And this brings on his friend, Dr. June Ross Mitchell, played by Laura Gordon, who is a parapsychologist and has been working with a young girl, Lily, a survivor of a cult, to where they worship this demon, Abraxas, I think it is. And Lily holds a dark secret that she herself might be connected to Abraxas himself or to another demon under his power. This movie honestly had a very interesting found footage approach to it, because I feel a lot of times when we do get found footage, we're usually going from place to place to place. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. It's just that the majority of found footage, we're following somebody through their journey of discovering, you know, an evil deity or a monster or a ghost or a witch or whatever the case is at that point. We're following them through a like large number of locations. And Late Night with the Devil is very unique for the simple fact that it just takes place in this TV studio, which obviously is the reason why it's very easy to compare it to something like Ghostwatch, which primarily took place in a TV studio as well, but also in the home to where this possession was occurring at the same time. And Late Night with the Devil doesn't give us that. We're stuck in this one location the entire time. And I really do enjoy that, because that does give you like this sense of claustrophobia and this sense of, you know, you're not really safe wherever you're at, because we get the idea of what's going to happen when this goes down. The fact that Dr. June very much tells Jack that it's a bad idea, they shouldn't do this conjuring of the demon within Lily, because it's just going to lead to terrible consequences for everybody. But Jack, of course, pushing caution to the wind, has to keep the show on the air, has to keep everybody's job safe, doesn't care at all, is going to risk everybody's lives in order to do this. This one location, not only for the studio audience that's in the actual set itself, but for SS Home, it can feel very, very restricting in the best of ways, because there is no escape. We don't really get a reprieve to go somewhere else and maybe escape the danger of this studio, honestly. And I love the setup of that for this film, that this is all we're going. And not only that, the movie gives us various levels of easing us into what's going to happen. You know, Jack has a number of guests throughout the night before he welcomes on Dr. June and Lily to his show, including Christu, a psychic, who, you know, if you guys remember back in the late 90s and early 2000s, we had a lot of these kinds of psychics showing up on all their kind of like shows, commercials, whatever the case was. And these were guys who did a lot of cold reads to where they're just looking for something. Like a letter, a name, some kind of connection they can pull together from somebody in the audience and then make their story out of that. And we know that's what Christu is when he's introduced to on Jack's show. But that doesn't mean that when something legitimately supernatural is going on, that these people who kind of play these kind of games are not attuned to that. And that's something that's fascinating in a lot of films, the fact that folks who are very clearly frauds end up getting roped into something real that's going on and the way that they end up dealing with it. Like, it's one of, honestly, I feel the best tropes to have in a film, to where we take that person who is very clearly a charlatan and show them why they are more of the truth bearer than anybody else that's around them. And Christu does definitely pay for his charades here on Jack's show. But it's part of setting up this atmosphere for all of us that things are going to get a lot more dangerous a lot more quickly, which then leads us into his next guest, Carmichael the Conjurer, played by Ian Bliss, who is a former magician who has sought to turn around and start to debunk all these people out there with these claims of mysticism and spirituality. He wants to basically just defeat all of that to show it's just all a joke, preying on people. And you know, there's a period in this, because Carmichael's whole gimmick throughout the film is that he's going to disprove anything that's going on, whether it's Christu or even it's Dr. June and Lily. He's there to really be our voice of reason for anybody watching this film that doesn't want to believe what they're seeing on screen, even as things get crazier and crazier throughout the runtime of this movie. But there's also some more nefarious goals in mind for Carm as well, which we're not going to spoil on here, but it was very nice to get not a subplot, but another side to the reason that Carm's the asshole that he is in this film, because there is a connection to Jack and something that he's seeking. And I love that kind of gets brought out eventually, that there's definitely a secret motive that Carm has for being involved in this show and to be involved in just the outlandish like antics that Jack has going on. And that just shows again how dangerous the entire like situation that all of them are in continues to grow, because even Jack's sidekick Gus points out numerous times that the things that they're doing aren't safe, and the things that they're doing are very much like working in a realm and a world that none of them have any kind of grasp on, and it's putting everybody, including their studio audience, in danger. And Jack, who on one hand, yes, is trying to save his career, he's trying to save this show, he's trying to save this job for a lot of people, at the same time, his own intrigue gets wrapped up into it as well, because there has to be some kind of personal investment for Jack with this story. And we very much get that, and it really serves the purpose for why Jack just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing with all of it, because he knows that there's something lurking under the surface that he has a direct connection and a direct involvement to. And it makes this all the more scarier as the supernatural events begin to pile up and pile up. Now, Last Night with the Devil, it has a few fun jump scares in it, but really the purpose of this movie is, over the course of this runtime, to install this sense of dread in us as the events slowly unfold. So if you're looking for a movie that's gonna like have the jump scares to pop out to get you, that's not what this movie really is trying to do. But what I will say though is that it does do a great job of carrying this sense of fear, this sense of dread, as I've said with a number of movies before, as the events continue to unfurl around Jack and the rest of this cast and crew that's on the set. And I really did enjoy the fact that it was a slow burn to everything kind of unraveling itself, because we know that over the course of this one episode, things are going to go horribly wrong. And I think that if we do too much of telling, too much of like just showing everything that's going on right away, we don't really build up that anticipation. You don't really build up the tension that we need for that last act to be so successful. And it really is successful, not only because of the fact that we have the slow burn to it, but also we're given breadcrumbs throughout the film about a lot of things that have happened in Jack's past and why this might be specifically happening to him on this show, why he's directly involved. And I love the fact that everything really got tied back together by the end of the film. You know, there was a lot of threads that were set up that we did get to pull on those strings by the time the movie was done. And that's always phenomenal when you get a film like that to go back around and pick up those things that left for us at the beginning. I thought they were very, very successful with that. Now, what stops it really from being a perfect film is I think that more of a presence of the demon, of the devil, you know, whatever you want to call it in this film, might have given it just a little bit more of an edge. Because I know I'm saying right now, we have this great build to the end of the film to where when everything starts happening, it's just this great sense of terror within it. But at the same time, it takes us a while to get there. And I think I would have liked just a little bit more sprinkling of these bad, like terrible events happening throughout the movie. I don't know if that means that Jack needed another guest. I don't know if that means we just needed a little bit more time with like Chris Stu before things went wrong. I don't know if that means that like maybe even Carm needed like more time to really set up why things aren't the way that we're seeing them on the screen, which I love. As a visual storytelling trick, I'm just going to say that Carm's example of showing why not only the people in the studio audience, but us watching this movie are subject just to believe whatever is going on. I thought that was phenomenal storytelling, honestly, because as a viewer, it doesn't really do anything for us. We know what we're seeing is happening, not necessarily what's going down in all of these segments, but we know what we're building to and know that what we're looking at is likely very real of what's going on. So the scene later on that we get with Carm showing us how it's so easy to dupe everybody, I thought was genius, because we as viewers have to throw away that unconscious bias that we have walking into this that might make us think that we already know what's going on in this film for sure. Now, with that, because I don't want to give out too many spoilers, this movie will hit Shudder at the end of April, so you're going to get a chance sooner or later to check this out for yourself and see how you buy into a late night talk show with the devil as one of those guests. But if you did get a chance to see it, let me know in the comment section what you thought. And how about them opening credits, y'all? It was literally company after company after company after company. I was talking about it because I saw something on Reddit about somebody like going for Family Guy, where they show the clip where Brian and Peter watching a movie, and it's like six different openings to it. And that's exactly what this movie had for sure. So I wonder if any of the rest of you noticed that in your viewing. But let me know what you think of Late Night with the Devil in the comment section. David Domeshane is just having a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful come up here, I feel, especially in the last 5 years as it pertains to horror. And this movie is just going to continue that trajectory upwards for him. So go check out Late Night with the Devil. It's in theaters everywhere right now, hitting Shudder at the end of April. Make sure to hit that like button if you like this review, y'all, and hit subscribe, because I got more reviews coming up for you, including Sting, coming sooner than later. But that's going to do it for me tonight. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Hey everybody, looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/AXDEW.